I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Tomorrow, R&B musician Mayer Hawthorne is with us to share some songs from his new soul album. Today, he tells us what's playing in his ear. But first, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we want to talk about what may be a surprising new twist in the ongoing national conversation about gender roles. Working Mother magazine reports that some 2.2 million mothers in the U.S. do not have primary custody of their children. The magazine says that over the past decade, the number of fathers awarded custody of their children has doubled. And when fathers do seek sole custody in a contested case, fathers prevail at least half of the time. Now, the magazine says this is in part because many men have stepped up their commitment to caregiving, and they don't want to hand off that role if the marriage goes sour. But the magazine also asks, is this in part because the courts are looking askance at the other side of the coin, that women who are working hard to be breadwinners are being punished for it? We wanted to know more about this, so we called Working Mother Editor-in-Chief Suzanne Riss. We also called Leslie Morgan Steiner. She's a regular contributor to our Parenting Conversations and the editor of Mommy Wars. That's a book of essays about the tensions between stay-at-home mothers and those who are in the workforce. Sometimes those tensions are internal, as the book makes clear. Also with us is family attorney Shantice Curry Try. Welcome to you all. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
Suzanne, if you'd start by, I wanted to ask, how did you get on to this story? What made you want to dig into this question?
Well, we'd been hearing anecdotally from our readers, from working moms, that they were involved in custody cases and finding very surprising results. Our readers were telling us that they presumed that, of course, is the mommy. They wouldn't have any trouble fighting for their kids in court, especially since they were in many cases the breadwinner. They were devoted moms. Then they were arriving in court and finding that a lot of the things that they thought were advantages were being seen as disadvantages and, in fact, evidence that they were neglecting their kids. So we wanted to look into this and see if it was really a bigger trend. And in fact, we found that it was.
But how do you know that? I mean, I think the article is very fair. For those who want to read it, we'll have a link on our website. But how do you know that the issue is not that the men were equally effective caregivers, but rather that the moms were being punished for stepping up in the breadwinner role? What makes you say that?
Well, I think what's interesting is that there are more dads that are now seeking custody of their kids. That's a big change. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we didn't see as many hands-on stay-at-home dads. So that's a brand new trend. And at the same time, we're seeing more and more moms who are out of the house for longer hours. And if they are the primary breadwinner, and increasingly working moms are, since more dads have been impacted by layoffs in the recession than moms, we're facing very new circumstances. More dads who are hands-on, more moms who are out of the home for longer hours. And the impact on the kids is being viewed by the courts in a different way, we believe.
And Shantice, talk more about that, if you would. The magazine points out that this notion, a presumption, that mothers are the more suitable parent for children under seven was abolished in most states in the 1990s. Do you think it's true that women who work long hours are being punished for it in custody cases?
I'd have to say yes. We've abolished the tender years doctrine, which basically says that there is a motherly preference in the courts. In practice, you know, I don't see this as being 100% true, in that when a mother decides to step outside her box, which is the cooking and cleaning and taking care of the kids, and actually decide to do something outside of the home, she is held to a higher standard of scrutiny when it comes to custody cases.
And how do you see this? And I presume you have both male and female clients, correct?
Yes.
You represent both men and women.
Right,
and so you see this in court, that you say on the whole, there's sort of a cultural bias. The mom is generally perceived to be the preferred sort of parent. But when a mom is working long hours, you say she's held to a higher standard. How does this play out?
Well, and I've seen it with judges and in custody cases. I think there is an inquiry that's done by a judge, and I'm not saying that it's fair, but there's an inquiry on what motivates the mother when she decides to step outside of her traditional motherly role. And then we're getting into scrutinizing, you know, whether it's she loves to work and wants to be in this job, or does she want to be a mother to her children? And these things are constantly coming up in the custody cases that I've done.
And what about the motivation of the father for not pursuing more rigorous employment? In the cases that Working Mother magazine reported on, in some of these cases, it surely cannot be all, but in some of these cases, the women report that the husbands didn't want to work, or that they said, look, I had to work because he was underemployed. So do you find judges asking the men why they are lightly employed?
Not as much. I've seen it where that circumstance has actually worked to the favor of dads when they are taking on something that traditionally they're not doing, when they are working in the homes and they're being Mr. Moms. And I think a lot of judges look at that as saying, you know, there's really got to be insincerity on the part of the dad to even do that, because why would he want to do that? Why would he want to be a Mr. Mom? And he's giving much deference in the courts because of that.
Leslie, what do you have to say about this? As a person who's reported very deeply on issues of the choices that women make around work and why they're working and how they work that out with their parenting responsibilities, what do you think about that? Have, in the course of your reporting, have you heard this as well?
While I'm overjoyed that men are much more involved in their kids' lives, and I think it's really important for the men and kids and moms, I found this article to be so disturbing on an emotional and visceral level, because I think it's every mom's one of her worst nightmares is losing custody of her kids. And I think that women who are the primary breadwinners or, you know, single moms are unsung heroes in our country. And the idea that you can't be a good mom and work full time is just, it's pretty horrifying to me. And, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, she's not a full time mom if she's working outside the home. And that's not true. Even somebody who's working 10 or 12 hours a day is still a full time mom. And I think that, I think this is a really disturbing trend.
Suzanne, I wanted to ask you, though, what Shantice is saying is interesting, because she's saying that women who work outside the home, their motives for working are questioned in a way that a man's are not. But one of the things I was curious about is, in your reporting, part of it is if a woman said, I want to limit my work hours so that I can be more available to my children, we would not call her a deadbeat. So I wanted to ask, I wouldn't. I don't think anybody in this conversation would. So in your reporting, when some of these women who were obviously very traumatized by losing custody because they felt that they were doing the right thing by their families, by working as hard as they were and did not expect it to be held against them, did you get to ask them the question is, well, what about, was it that your husband refused to work or that he really felt that it was important for one parent to be more flexible, available, and to work fewer hours?
I think that there are a lot of answers to that question. What we were learning is that for both parents, for both the men and the women, a divorce and a custody case, a custody battle, can be a chance to really re-examine priorities and rethink how they're doing things. So, you know, for a lot of dads, maybe they were forced into the role because they were laid off, and in some cases, they would like to go back to work and still be very hands-on, but have more of a balance. And for a lot of working moms, they, in some cases, got swept up by the pressures of being the sole breadwinner and weren't spending the amount of time that they wanted with their kids. So in a lot of cases, both parents were looking for more balance as a result of the custody case. But I think what is the case for a lot of women is, even though they're working, they still are very involved with their kids. So there are very few working moms out there who are putting in their, you know, 12-hour day and then not also making time to make their kids dinner and give them a bath and do all the things, because being a mom is really their first priority. So I think what is so disturbing for a lot of working moms, even if they feel like they're working too hard, is that they never gave up their mommy role. And the courts, in some cases, are asking or questioning whether they in fact have, and they feel that they have not.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and we're having our weekly parenting conversation. We're talking about an article in Working Mother magazine that examines whether working mothers are held to a higher standard in contested custody cases. So, Shantice, what is your sense of what is to be done here? I mean, if you're in a situation where you're working because you feel that this is what your family needs you to do, and then the marriage becomes, you know, vulnerable, what can you do? I mean, that seems to me a situation where you feel even more pressure to shore up your, you know, your financial well-being. Do you have any sort of advice for people who are in this sort of tricky territory?
Well, I think the first piece of advice, which I give all of my clients, is to really think about your priorities. And sometimes it means rethinking your priorities in a matter. And understanding that in courts, when it comes to children, the best interest of the child is the prevailing standard. So it really doesn't matter, you know, what you want and your priorities as a mom and what dad wants and his priorities. It matters what the court sees and understands is the children's best interest. So if you're going to have a case where the two of you cannot get along and you're going to go in front of a judge, you have to remember, you know, what are your priorities? It's protecting your children. And that should really put in line for a lot of people what their priorities are. Does it mean, you know, doing the overtime or working late evenings? Or does it mean getting off early and planning activities for your children, making sure that the homework is done, that you're there to do it? Because in a custody case, these are the types of things that the judge is going to be looking at. How visible are you? How involved are you? Do you know the names of the pediatricians? Do you take them to the doctor's appointments? Or are these things that are handed off to the other parent?
Leslie, you had a thought.
Yeah, this is Leslie. In working on Mommy Wars, what I saw is absolutely that we live with a cultural bias that stay-at-home moms are somehow better for kids. I hear women and men say that all the time, that women who are willing to sacrifice themselves and their careers and their work for children are somehow more loving. And I think that it's something that we need to get past as a society, that there are many, many ways to be a good mom, and lots of moms need to work to provide for their kids and to provide for themselves. And I think one of the most important things that I learned from this article is just the concept that divorce has never been fair. It's not fair to men or women or children especially. And we've got to get out of our minds that a family court or a divorce judge can somehow make it right for you. And I haven't been through divorce with children, but I did get divorced from the man who was physically abusing me. And it was a pretty terrifying process because even in a case as severely as where, you know, a man had held a gun to my head, the judge didn't have time to hear it. And you hear a lot about even domestic violence cases where the men are awarded custody, even when it has been proven that they have been physically abusing their wives. And we just can't expect courts that are set up to divide property, to understand what's best for kids. And the article pretty strongly says the best advice is to stay out of court if you at all can.
Suzanne, do you have any sort of words of wisdom as a result of the reporting that the magazine did in this case?
I think one of the things that we learned that was most shocking to us was how little time the courts have to hear these cases. A lot of women called us because they felt that they had, you know, reams and reams of paperwork, and it was very involved and very heated arguments and evidence and emails and all of this material. And then the judge would have 3 minutes to hear the summary from each side. So what we heard from a lot of families who have gone through this, both men and women, is if there is any way that you can resolve this outside of the courts, that's what you want to do. Judges and lawyers were the first ones to tell us that they think that families are best served by using mediation or finding a way to resolve this outside the courts.
Even lawyers feel that way.
Lawyers and judges told us that.
Suzanne Riss is the editor-in-chief of Working Mother magazine. If you want to read the piece that we've been talking about, we'll have a link on our website. Just go to npr.org, go to Programs, and click on Tell Me More. Suzanne Riss joined us from our New York bureau. We were also pleased to be joined by our regular parenting contributor, Leslie Morgan Steiner. She's the editor of Mommy Wars. Her latest book is Crazy Love. She was here with us from our studios in Washington. And Shantice Curry-Try is a family law attorney. Her practice is based in Baltimore. She joined us from that office. Ladies, I want to thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Michelle.